Let's take our Bibles tonight, and I want us to turn to two passages, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Let's start in the New Testament with the book of Colossians. Colossians. You know how certain areas have, you know, like Baltimore folks put an R on everything, you know? All right, Warsh. Warsh. Anybody know what Warsh means? Yeah, he says it all the time. Yeah, Warsh. You call it Washington? Yeah, absolutely. Do you? Okay. All right. Washington, D.C. Yeah. Well, anyway, I had an assistant pastor down in West Virginia, and he could not say Colossians. He just could not say it. He called it Colossians. And so one day, he said that, and I went, C-O-L-O. There's no R in that, you know. What are you talking about? And I said, well, you call it Colossians. Well, what's wrong with that? I said, it's wrong. That's what's wrong with it. And we went round and round about that. But then I got to listening, and he put R's in a lot of words. And he wasn't from Baltimore. So anyway, but Colossians, all right? Look at Colossians chapter 2. And I want to read just one verse, verse 9. Verse 9. And verse 9 says, for in him, that's Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, so think about that now. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, Jesus is God. God is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. All right, so the Godhead bodily. Now go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, and I don't have a fancy way to pronounce that, so. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll read one verse. All right, that's verse 4. And here the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. All right, and let me read that again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much now for your word, and I pray you'll bless your word greatly tonight. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Father, may we seal it in our hearts and realize that we have a wonderful, wonderful Godhead that works together in all things. And so, Father, I pray you'll bless as we study your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the next part of our study of what we believe, in other words, that part of our constitution that gives our statement of faith and what we believe in the Church of the Open Door, is our position on the Godhead. On the Godhead. And I quote now from our constitution, so listen carefully. And this is in our Constitution as to what we believe about the Godhead. Quote, we believe in one triune God. All right, one triune. Now, what's tri mean? Three, exactly right. So, but what's un mean? One, exactly. Who said that? Very good, very good. All right, so we believe in three, yet one. All right, that's what we believe. that God is three, yet one. All right, then it goes on and says, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, each co-eternal in being, co-identical, think now, co-identical in nature, and co-equal in power and glory, having the same attributes and perfections. All right, now let me put it all together for you. I stopped to highlight a couple of things, so let me put it all together for you. Here's what our Constitution states. We believe in one triune God, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each co-eternal in being, co-identical in nature, and co-equal in power and glory, having the same attributes and perfections. Now that is I don't know who put that together, but that is beautifully put together, and it certainly exemplifies what our position on the Godhead is. Now, I have mentioned to you on a number of occasions in the last 29 years that I don't care a great deal for the word Trinity. All right. Now, sometimes you might say it, you might use it. I might say it. I might use it. I try. And after 48 years in the ministry, I think I've pretty well gotten to the place where I don't say Trinity anymore. Now watch me say it tonight. But the reason that I don't like to use that word is because Trinity is not in the Bible. It's just not, that's not what the Bible calls the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible refers to the Godhead, to the three as the Godhead. And it's very clear in the scriptures that the Bible teaches us that there is one God, one God. The one God is the designer. That's God the Father. The creator, that's God the Son. And then the administrator of all of creation, and that's God the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to show you after a while how these three work together in so many, many areas. They are just, you cannot separate them in the Bible. You can't pull one out and say that doesn't belong there. You can't pull another out and say, oh, that one doesn't belong there. The Bible presents our God, just as our statement says here, we believe in one triune God. All right? One triune God. Father, Son, Spirit. Now, in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, we have a wonderful explanation of God. Verse 4 is one of the Old Testament's greatest declarations about God. The Jews call verse 4 the Shema, the Shema. And that is a Hebrew word that means to hear. And that's the first word in the verse, if you look at it. Hear, O Israel. So this is something that that every Jew, every Jewish person will know as the Shema. They'll simply refer to it as the Shema. And around 2007, 2008, somewhere in there, in one of the trips to Israel, we got up on Masada, and the guide said, "Do you want to see something neat?" And I said, "Sure." He said, come with me." So I walked with him, and our folks learned quickly that when the guide grabs me and takes off, they follow. All right, so everybody followed. That's, you know, folks picked up on that real quick. And so we're walking, and I said, where are we going? He said, just right up here. I said, okay, all right. So I turn around, and everybody's going, because I didn't want anybody to miss it either. So we walked over, and there was a scribe, all right, a Jewish scribe. And he had on his black outfit, and he had on his little hat and all that. And he was sitting at a table with his Hebrew Bible open. And so Boaz took me over, introduced me to him, and he understood English. And so we stood there and talked a little bit. And then Boaz said, why don't you write a Shema for him, or the Shema for him? And then the guy turns around, and Boaz turns me around so that guy couldn't hear. And he said, "Do you have any money on you?" He wanted me to tip the guy for giving me a piece of paper about that big. All right. But that little piece of paper about that big has this verse in Hebrew written out. And this guy with black ink and a fountain pen. He did it with a fountain pen. And I have it stuck in the mirror where my dresser is in the bedroom. And so all the time I look at that thing and I smile and I remember, and it comes to mind that the Lord, our God, is one Lord. All right? That's the Shema. And hear this. Now, why is that so important? Well, that's so important because the Bible presents our God, our God, whose name is Jehovah, all right? His name is Jehovah. The Bible presents our God as one God who is triune in nature. He is one God, but he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And every believer needs to be grounded and settled on that. And I think you'll see why as I go through this lesson with you. We may not get it done tonight. I kind of doubt we do. We very rarely do. But we'll pick it up the next time. But here is the Shema. And it simply means to hear. And what are we to hear? Well, we are to hear that the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's God's covenant name. And it is the word Jehovah in your Bible. All right? Jehovah. And you remember the Jews did not use vowels here. With this word, they simply wrote it out, and it was a yod, and it was a he, an h sound, and it was a vav, and then another h. Now the words are pictorial, and there's four consonant in, consonants in that word. And so they called it 1, 2, 3, 4, the tetra four. All right, you got it? Tetragrammaton. Grammaton means letters. So this Shema is telling us that Jehovah is our God. And God is one Jehovah. All right, you see the verse? And that is the record that the Old Testament scriptures give us. The word Jehovah always is, when it's used in the Old Testament, the word Jehovah always is connected to the matter of redemption. You can take that word and know that it means Jehovah God, and you can trace that word to the matter of redemption. That's God's covenant name. And that's the covenant that we now live by and love and adhere to, which is not the old, but the new covenant. All right? We have a new covenant from God. And so that covenant is a covenant that God has made with us through the blood of his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So our God, our Jehovah, is one God and is one Jehovah. All right? So he is our redemption. I'm going to show you how that works here in just a few moments. Now, you'll remember, if you look at verse 4 again, look carefully at it, all right? You've got capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. All right, keep looking at it. Jehovah, our God. All right, that word God is the word Elohim. Elohim. All right, now El means God. Several of the trips that we've made over to Israel, we have flown on El Al. All right? God's airline. That's Israel's national airline. They call it God's airline. And they've never lost a plane, and they've never had anybody die as a result of being on their plane. So they accredit that to the fact that Jehovah God is protecting their national airline. All right? And amen to that. So whenever I've scheduled a trip, the travel company will say something like, do you want to use American, or you want to use United? And I'll say, no, I want to use El Al. And the guy will say, okay. But you see, if I use United or American, they get a kickback. So that's why they're pushing me towards American and United Airlines. But, I don't get a kickback, but they do, so I want to use El Al. But anyway, I feel comfortable when I'm on the airlines, what I'm saying. So Elohim is a combination of two words, El, meaning God, and Ohim, which is an ending that makes El plural. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. All right? That's the idea behind it. So here, O Israel, and this is, they simply refer to it now as the Shema. And I read to you a moment ago from Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, now let's hold our place here, and let's go over to First John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let me read you a verse over here. All right. 1 John, not St. John, not John the Divine, not John the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's his book, but it's not St. John the book. It's 1 John. All right, everybody there? All right, chapter 5. Now let's watch this here carefully. All right, look down. Look down, please. Let's start in verse 1. All right. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also by, or also that is begotten of him. Now, follow along. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You want to know why there's so much fighting and fussing that goes on in Christianity? Why there's so much fussing and fighting that goes on among ourselves? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You know, it's not hard to love your brother. You know, it's not hard to not use the Lord's name in vain. It's not hard. You say, well, how do you do something like that? Well, you just make up your mind. You're going to do it, and you do it. You know, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So we just read the Bible, know the Bible, learn the Bible, and make up our mind to obey the Bible. All right, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit. All right, so notice you've got Jesus in verse 6, and then it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. All right, so John's going to sum it up. Now listen, look carefully and listen carefully to verse 7. For there are what? Three that bear record in heaven. All right, the Father, that's Jehovah, our God. All right, the Father, the Word. Now, we know who the Word is, don't we? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, exactly. And then the Holy Ghost. So there's three that bear record. The Father, the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, look at this next little phrase that ties it together. And these three are one. Now, that goes along with what our Constitution says, that we believe in one triune God, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each co-eternal in being. All right, so God the Father is just as much God as God the Son is God. And God the Son is just as much God as God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is just as much God as is God the Son and God the Father. They are co-eternal in being. They are co-identical in nature and co-equal in power and glory, having the same attributes and perfections. So everything that the Bible tells us about God the Father as an attribute, it tells us that God the Son also has those attributes. It is revealed. That's what's the message and the miracle of the Bible, is how it just is unfolded and revealed over and over and over and over, convincing us that the Word of God is truth. No doubt about it in my mind. I'm a little prejudiced, but no doubt about it in my mind. All right, so these three are one. Now, let's begin. That was the introduction. Let's begin with number one, the basis of the doctrine of the Godhead. Now, when we stop and actually look at the Bible, we are able to see the Godhead working together simultaneously in a number of places. Let me give you an example. Go back to the book of Matthew chapter 3 for just a moment. All right, Matthew's Gospel chapter 3. All right, let's go down, please, to verse 13. Verse 13, Matthew 3:13. All right, everybody there? All right, here we go. Look at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, that's John the Baptist, to be baptized of him. But John the Baptist forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. In other words, permit, suffer, allow, let this happen. All right, John, I appreciate your humility here, but this is your job, all right? This is your job. You are to introduce me. So allow this to happen. Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he permitted him, or allowed him. All right, you see the language? Now, look at verse 16. And who? Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. All right, now everybody look here. That statement right there presupposes that Jesus was immersed in the water. Right? Because the Bible says here that when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So he was in the water and he came out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw who? The Spirit of God. Notice the attachment here. Matthew wants to make sure that we know this is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the same as God, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. All right, so look here. We've got God the Son, Jesus, in the first part of verse 16, right? All right, everybody awake? All right, let me try it again. We have Jesus in the first part of the verse, right? All right, we have the Holy Spirit in the second part of the verse, right? Now look at verse 17. And to a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Now, who is that voice from? God. So you've got Father, you've got Son, and you've got Holy Spirit right here together. Right here, side by side. Does everybody see that? All right. So you say, well, I don't know about this Godhead thing. I don't know about this Father, Son, and Spirit. Well, you ought to know about it, because it's not any more clear in the Bible than the verses we just looked at. I mean, it's there as plain as the nose on your face. All right. So pay very close attention to what happened. All right, the Spirit came down and landed and abode upon the Son, God the Son, God the Spirit, and then the voice of God cried out and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All right, so what an absolute wonderful example God gives us in the baptism of Christ. All right, so that's at the beginning of his ministry. Now go over to chapter 28 of Matthew, and let me show you how Matthew ends. All right, Matthew 28. Everybody following all right? All right, look at verse, let's go to 16, all right? Verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee." All right, so, they didn't have 12. Judas committed hari kari, you'll remember. So there's only 11 of them. And they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the," who? "Father and of the," and of the, there's all three. All right, again. So I think that's, again, pretty clear. You know, three, triune, yet one. And they work together. They coexist in harmony and work together. And that's all the way through the scriptures. All right, let me give you one more. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. All right, look down, please, if you will, to, let's start at verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All right, now let me stop right there. All right. That was a local, that was that we don't do that today. All right. So don't some of you guys say, oh, I want to be biblical here. No, you keep your mitts off of the women. All right. That is not what that is saying. All right. This, if you're going to kiss anybody, kiss your wife or kiss your husband. All right. And let it stop right there. All right. You're going to light a fire you can't put out if you ain't careful. Verse 13. All right. All the saints salute you. Now watch. Last verse. The grace of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. All right, so this is Paul's benediction to the epistle, the second Corinthian epistle. And again, all three persons of the Godhead are mentioned. And all of us need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us need that. And all of us need to understand how much God the Father loves us. I mean, he loves us so much, he sent his only begotten Son, did he not? So there's another thing we all need. We all need the love of the Father. And all of us need to understand that we need the communion of the Holy Spirit, which simply means that we are, as the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, all right, if you want to get technical, that John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. If you want to get technical. And in that prayer, over and over, the Lord Jesus talks about that all of us be one. That we be one. Now, you know, that doesn't mean one in compromise. That means one in truth. All right? And so all of us need the communion of the Holy Spirit, which simply means that we are one in heart, one in purpose, and one in fellowship. All right. One more. One more. I'm sorry. I just thought of this one. All right. Go back, please. Let me get this one in. Genesis. Where is it? Chapter 1. Yep, there it is. Genesis chapter 1. All right, look please, if you will, at verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And who said? God. God said, let us. Now, us indicates a plurality, doesn't it? In other words, more than one. All right. If it was singular, God would have said, let me. All right. Or let you. But he didn't. He said, let us. Wonder who he's referring to as the us. Well, this is a conversation among the Godhead, right here in verse 28, in eternity past. Let us make man in our image. All right? After, what's the next word? Our likeness, exactly. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. All right? There's two genders. And that's it. Male and female. You know, since in the 4 years that the current regime has been mutilating children, these children now have 4 years or so under their belts, and they realize, many of them realize, what in the world have I done? And it is sinking into them, they'll never have children. It's sinking into them that as confused as they were when they had a teacher telling them to be confused, they are 10,000 times more confused today than they ever were. And many of them, sadly, are committing suicide. Big numbers. I tell you, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Oh my. I just don't get it. Do you? All right, look at verse 28. Here's what I'm getting to. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now notice here that the Holy Spirit, who inspired this Bible that we have, says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. So there are five different places where you can see all three persons of the Godhead working together side by side and doing what each does in a perfectly presented way. That's our God. God is a God of organization. All right? So keep that in mind. All right. Now we'll pick up here next time. And I'll mark here where we left off. And we'll pick up here next time. And I'm going to show you several other things. You know, the Bible gives us the Godhead. But God himself shows us right here on this earth the Godhead. All right? You remember from several years back, numbers mean something.
Yes, they do.
They're not just in there for filler material. All right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. And Father, help us to realize this matter of the Shema. We are to hear. We are to hear on a regular schedule that the Lord our God is one Lord. And Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us in the truth. And Father, we pray that you'll seal these truths in our hearts tonight. Help us to go home and to reread these passages of Scripture and just ask ourselves, why did God put this here? Why is this in my Bible? Well, it's to show us who God is. And so, Father, help us to understand that and to get it settled in our minds and in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.